So this Advent season, we're going to be in a brief little series called The Humble Child is Born. And I borrowed that line and converted it a little bit from the really well-known Christmas carol, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Down in a lowly manger, our humble Christ was born and brought us all salvation that blessed Christmas morn. There are so many themes of humbleness associated with Jesus, the birth story, the incarnation itself. And so we're just going to explore a very brief few of those themes of humbleness that surround the birth story of Jesus. And today we're going to start with the theme of waiting. We're going to talk about a shoot from a stump. And waiting is definitely something that takes humility and humbleness. And I want to start today with just a phrase, just a few words from the beginning of Isaiah chapter 11. The prophet Isaiah has some words to share with us, but just one phrase for now. In verse 1 of Isaiah 11, we read, "The stump of Jesse." The stump of Jesse. That's a depressing phrase, right? There's not much about a stump that really gets the blood going. It's a sad phrase. Because a stump represents a thing that there was life at one point, and now there isn't life anymore. And Isaiah is using this phrase to describe what has happened to Israel, to the nation that he loves. Because by the time he gets on the scene, and then even after him, Isaiah notes that all that's left of Israel, and especially her rulers, is just a stump. There aren't many things that are more humble than a stump. And I realized I chuckled at myself at the irony of starting an Advent sermon series in the Christmas season talking about a stump, because this is a season that is accompanied by beautiful, even sometimes magnificent Christmas trees. And I'm talking about a stump. When in our homes, in our communities, we have these trees popping up that are beautifully decorated. This is this year's New York City Rockefeller tree. This year's tree is 80 feet tall, 43 feet wide. It weighs 12 tons. It's over 80 years old, between 80 and 85 years old. It has about 50,000 lights on it. So if you, readying your place for Christmas, are like, oh man, this is never going to end, 50,000 lights. If you string that all out end to end, it ends up measuring about 5 miles of wired lights. That is an endless task. And the star that is on top of this year's tree weighs in at 900 pounds. I do not know how the physics of that even works. Like a 900-pound thing that you put on the top that is held up and not falling or leaning. I don't know. I don't know how it works, but I am not a Christmas tree engineering expert. I know that there are those of them out there. That is not what I do. So I'm just going to trust that all Christmas season is going to nestle itself snugly at the top of that tree. Someday, we'll go to New York City. I'm going to see the Rockefeller tree, but that is not today. Beautiful trees. Even one of the most popular trees of all of Christmas season, Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. Not a stump. Not an impressive tree by any stretch of the imagination, right? Not much to it. But even that simple, basic, kind of sad little Christmas tree was not a stump. A stump is good for pretty much nothing. Useless. Although I was typing some of those words this week and I was immediately taken back a decade or so, and I remembered one of my favorite books to read to my kids. And some of you are nodding because you already know what's coming, right? There's a famous book called The Giving Tree that's about a tree that keeps giving and giving and giving to a little boy who grows into a man. By the end of the book, the man has tried to find happiness, joy and contentment, and so many other things, and yet is unfulfilled, comes back to the tree, and the tree has already been used for so many of these exploits. And this boy, who is now an old man, says, "All I really need is a place to sit and rest." And that little tree straightens herself up as best she can and said, that I can do. And the boy did. Stumps, though, are basically almost useless. So useless, we will pay good money to have someone remove them from our yards. There are entire services built around the idea that if you have a stump, it has to go, right? So this stump of Jesse, it takes us back to Israel's most well-known king, David, because David was Jesse's son. By the time Isaiah is on the scene, it's about 300 years after King David. And I would imagine that the Israelite people were yearning and longing for a king like David. And I would imagine that they might hear the phrase, the stump of Jesse, and would have gone, man, what we should be saying is it should have been the trunk of Jesse. It should have been this strong, firm foundation that all these other kings then built upon, the legacy. We should be surrounded by the branches and the limbs of this beautiful tree, and yet when we look around, all we see is a stump. Let's go back even further, though. Not just from Isaiah to David, 300 years. Let's go back all the way to the beginning. Be reminded once again of God's original intent for his people. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I don't know how many times I've referenced or used this passage in my sermons, probably dozens at this point. And I will never apologize from going back to it again and again and again, because this is the bedrock of what we see, God's dream, God's intent for his people. That yes, they would know him, love him, and serve him, but then ultimately become part of his plan to bless all the peoples of the earth. His intention was for his people to grow tall and to strong, and in order to shelter all the peoples on earth with the limbs and the branches of God's presence. This is God's intent for his people. If his people were to be a tree, it would be a tree that doesn't become a stump, but a tree that ends up growing so vast, so wide, that all the peoples of earth are invited into relationship with this God of all creation. Abram did the first part. Go to this new place, this new country. Abram did that part. The people in the history of Israel, the middle part they did, on and off, varying degrees of success, right? Did they become a great nation? Most certainly they did. Did they end up having a great name? Absolutely. Think of the peak, the pinnacle, when it was Solomon, and he had people coming, leaders from other nations, streaming in to see the greatness of what Israel had become. But the last part, not so good. The all peoples of the earth part, not so good. Because it wasn't long after Solomon, even including Solomon, that they turned inward instead of outward. They became infatuated with maintaining their own greatness. They saw the peoples of earth as more enemies to be feared than communities to bless. They overlooked and mistreated the most needy and vulnerable among them, and they abandoned the law of God. They worshiped many other gods instead of, or in addition to, the God that spoke to Abram under the stars. So what happened? How did they go from this tree that was intended down to just a stump? I think we find part of the answer in Psalm chapter 1 to carry on with our tree metaphor this morning. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to to destruction. The people of God were intended to be fruitful and prosperous according to that original intent that Abram received looking up into the sky. But they withered. And not just a tree withering, but they withered all the way down to a stump. I'm reading a book this Advent season called Making Room for Advent. I was given this book by a friend, and it's really great. One of the quotes that goes along with this theme this morning from Betty Dickinson: the people of Israel were meant to be a thriving tree reflecting God's love to the nations, but they withered when they failed to live into this call. They were not characterized by God's righteousness and justice, and so they were taken into exile and endured so much damage that only a stump remained. Only a stump remained. So what happened? In essence, Psalm 1 happened to Israel. That psalm essentially becomes prophetic for the people, that they abandon the delight in the law of the Lord, that they don't meditate on it day and night. They don't keep in front of their minds and hearts the laws, the ways of God. And so they begin to wander, and eventually that wandering leads them into exile. Like the chaff blown away by the wind, they are blown into exile, and all that's left is a stump. And for a long time, hundreds of years, the stump just sat and waited. In Christianity, we talk about, Andy already mentioned this morning, the 400 years of silence. Sometimes we call it the time between the testaments. Because if you look at Scripture, at the inspired Word of God, and you see it ends in Malachi and doesn't pick up until the incarnation, there's about 400 years that take place. 400 years of silence, 400 years of waiting. 400 years is a really, really long time. But it's even longer from Isaiah's message about the stump of Jesse to Jesus. It's not just 400 years, it's 700 years. 700 years of waiting. Sort of helps us put in perspective some of the things that we have to wait for and therefore get impatient about, doesn't it? 700 years? We get impatient more like, I just can't wait for Christmas to get here. Or if you're my children, I just can't wait until Christmas break. I just don't know if I'm going to make it to Christmas break or not. I'm like, oh, you need to buckle down, right? I can't wait until Christmas. Or maybe some of you have thought to yourselves, I don't know if I can make it. I can't wait until the end of the work week, until the weekend gets here. Or maybe I can't wait till the end of this shift. I don't know if I'll make it to the end of the shift. I can't wait. Or maybe you've thought to yourself as you're sitting at one of the eternal traffic lights here in Salem, ugh, why am I still waiting? And you laugh because you know there are some. I'm not going to name places, but you know where they exist. And I'll tell you where they exist. I know, because when I'm driving through those lights and it turns yellow, even though I have my son in the passenger seat and he's looking to me, still learning to drive, and I will definitely accelerate through that yellow light to not get stuck at that eternal traffic light. And he will say to me, you just accelerated through that light. And I will say, I know. I know that I did. I know that I did. By the way, if you think we have eternal lights here, like occasionally I have to drive through places like Pittsburgh, I could read a novel at some of those lights. Or maybe you get impatient because you tend to pick the wrong checkout line at the grocery store. See, and I hear the groans, right? I know that that's you. But you know what? Not anymore. You know why? Self-checkout. That's right. I am the captain now, right? I am the captain now. There is no choosing the wrong line, because when I choose that line, I'm choosing like six different lines that boom, 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 all populate at once for me. We are terrible at waiting. 700 years between Isaiah talking about the stump of Jesse and Jesus. During this Advent season, are you in a time of waiting for something? Do you feel a little stump-like in whatever your life looks like right now? And what might that sound like? There's a few phrases in this book that she uses to describe this feeling of waiting or being cut back to a stump. Things like, I could never recover from this, or it's too late for me, or I've made too many mistakes, or no good could ever come from this, or simply, that dream is now dead. Are you going through a time of stump-like waiting? And why would I even talk about a stump waiting? That doesn't make any sense unless there's some kind of hope. Hope, the theme of the first Sunday of Advent. How does a stump have hope and expectation? To find that answer, we go from that little phrase in Isaiah 11:1, and we expand and look at the entire context of the words of Isaiah when he writes, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he'll give decisions to the poor of the earth. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Why is there hope for a stump? Because a shoot is coming. A shoot is coming. And guys, I cannot make this up. I'm getting ready for this message during the week, and I looked for some images of that stump from the book, The Giving Tree, to put in the slides, and this is what I found. Somebody, some fan artist, has made a stump from the book with a shoot coming up out of the middle of it. I saw it, and I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, when I'm preparing my message, sometimes I start to go, God, I'm not sure that this is kind of where we should be going. I'm not sure if this is how far we need to take this. And then I stumble on something like this. I'm like, okay, all right, okay, okay, okay. Why would a stump wait? Have any anticipation at all? Because there's a shoot coming. Paul quotes Isaiah in Romans chapter 15. Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up. One will arise to rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles will hope. Here, Paul is quoting from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. From the root, there will be one who rises, and even the Gentiles will hope in him. God's original intent will be renewed, that all peoples will be blessed. And in Jesus, it has been. The people of God are now spread all over the globe, loving, blessing the peoples of this earth. Imagine that. The people of God spread all over the world. Branches, limbs, extending in God's original intent and dream. And no, we're not done yet. But what a beautiful thing. Through the incarnation of Jesus, God planted himself among humanity. Why? To give us living water, water that never runs dry, and so that in him we might what? Bear much fruit. The original intent of God will not be forgotten, will not be spoiled, will not be ruined. Because in Jesus, in the incarnation of Christ, God planted himself among us. Jesus announced that if you want living water, you can find it in him. And that if you remain in the vine, abide in me, you can bear much fruit. It's interesting, I think, to note how Isaiah describes this shoot or this branch, the words that are used in Isaiah 11 in that prophecy. Words like wisdom, understanding, counsel, and knowledge, those are all very similar words. They're from the same realm. And in the Hebrew literature, in that language, repetition means something. When you repeat an idea again and again and again, it's to drive home the importance of this. So when Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge. And only one time does it mention might. It's as if in Isaiah's time, he has already seen enough kings come and go who had plenty of might. They had incredibly strong armies. They had lots and lots and lots of weapons. And yet we have a stump. Why? Because by and large, you know what they didn't have? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, a fear of the Lord. A new king is needed. Those other kings were not planted by the streams of life-giving water. They weren't maintaining a meditation on the good ways of God. But this shoot, the shoot will be different. It will have wisdom and knowledge and all of those sorts of things and enough might, wisdom, might, and a reverence for God, a fear of the Lord, so much so altogether that this shoot, this branch, will be able to judge righteously, with righteousness. Judging with righteousness. This is especially good news, not only for all people, but for the poor, for the needy, as we see in Isaiah chapter 11. It might be a stump, but Isaiah said, don't give up the dream, because a shoot is coming. Betty Dixon says, this shoot, as it grew, would rule with true justice on behalf of the needy and the poor. Jesus would show us what God's life-giving, fruitful, and expansive kingdom looks like, a kingdom that grows and stretches to the nations, a kingdom that takes those on the margins, the stranger, the widow, the orphan, and brings them into the center of his story. Out of the withering stump of Jesse, Jesus would grow into a faithful tree that gives life to the world. Because this is just what God does. He makes barren places fruitful. He renews old places with new life. He takes what is dying, and he grows a shoot of hope. Think for a moment about how many generations of people had to hold on to the hope of a shoot someday. How many generations of people were stuck waiting with nothing but emptiness and stillness like a stump. It's no wonder that when this time of year we revisit the stories of Jesus' birth, what is the reaction of people? People and angels. They explode with joy. They cannot help it. They explode with joy. The angels in the sky. Mary ponders things in her heart. Those first few people that got to witness, listen, read the stories. There are songs popping up everywhere. It's like they can't help it. It's like a Broadway musical in the story of Jesus' birth. They just burst into song all over the place. Why? Because they've been waiting so long. But now the shoot is among them. If your life has seemed empty in some way, if God has seemed still or silent, I want to encourage you on this first Sunday of Advent, please don't give up hope. God is still in the business of bringing shoots out of stumps. God is still in the business of bringing signs of life in the midst of silence and emptiness. So with all that in mind, let's think and pray through a few reflections with some silence today to respond to what we've read. Let's just give thanks to God for his faithfulness to that original intent to bring the blessing of his presence to all peoples on earth, including us right here today. Secondly, are you staying firmly planted near the streams of water for your soul? Do you delight in words of Scripture and keep your mind and your heart centered on them? Third, do you find yourself in a season of waiting or emptiness this Christmas season? Has something in your life been cut back to a stump? Does it seem like God is silent? If so, please don't give up hope. And lastly, is there maybe an element of a shoot of newness of life that you're thankful for today? Maybe God has been at work in the waiting and the silence, and you can say thank you, God, for this shoot of new life that is popping up around me. I'm going to stop talking and flip through those reflections once more, hoping that at least one of them grabs a hold of your heart, that you and the Holy Spirit can have a moment of conversation. And then we'll close that in just a moment with a word of prayer.